Welcome. Thanks so much for coming. I'm really excited that so many people turned out, and we're going to take a look at the new reporting services. In this session, we'll give you a really broad overview of everything that's new in the release that we just shipped, SQL Server 2016, and hopefully you'll come away with a picture of how it gives you a modern on-premises solution for both enterprise reporting and now with the addition of mobile BI, that aspect of it as well. My name is Ricardo Muti. I'm the Group Program Manager for SQL Server Reporting Services. I'll give you a little bit more background on myself in a bit, but let's quickly just go over what we are going to cover today. As I said, the focus of this session is on what's new in SSRS 2016. So how many people have used SSRS before? Any previous version? Okay, the vast majority of you. That's good. You're in the right spot because this is not going to be what is SSRS, intro to SSRS sort of session. We're not going to spend a lot of time providing that intro. We're going to assume that you have at least some basic familiarity with SSRS in general so that we can focus on what's new. So that's good. On the other hand, this is not going to be a super advanced deep dive into building out really complex reports or doing really advanced programmability or administration or manageability with reporting services. It's not a very, very technical deep dive. If you're interested in that, there are a couple labs on actually building out reports, including a hands-on lab for the new mobile reports. So I definitely recommend that you check that out. Hopefully the sense that you get here of what the product can do will arm you to go and do those labs. But if you're looking for that technical deep dive, remember this is an overview of everything that's new. So if that still sounds like something that's useful information to you, then you're in the right place. A couple of other common questions that we get that we wanted to tackle, number one, is all sorts of questions about what do I need to upgrade to this, what do I need to migrate, anything I need to think about, whether it's from a previous version of SSRS, or if you know the history of DataZen Mobile BI and how that relates to this, which we'll touch on, how do you migrate from DataZen to this? So we'll touch on that. The other common question that we get that we wanted to tackle was, hey, I want to deploy this in production at scale. I want high scale, I want high availability, I want failover, all that sort of stuff. As I said, we don't have time to cover that in great depth, and there are some good white papers and articles out there, and we're also trying to do some updates to them as well. But a really common question is just what does that reference architecture look like? So we'll give you one reference architecture that we use, and it's something that you can consider about how you're going to deploy SSRS 2016 or future versions. And finally, we'll just touch on what's next, things that we've been working on since we released SSRS 2016 and have either just shipped or are just about to ship. And hopefully we'll leave a little bit of time at the end for Q&A. Sound good? All right. So a little bit more background on myself. I've been in Microsoft for a little over 6 years. I've worked on business intelligence the whole time that I've been here. I worked on what you now know today of as Power BI. So when I was working on it and working on building on it, we called it Power View. So I worked on V1 of Power View, which was our interactive data visualization canvas, if you will. That evolved into from a Silverlight-based implementation to an HTML5-based implementation, from an on-premises product to something that we moved over to the cloud and formed the cloud service that you now know of as Power BI. So really, when you're interacting with data visualization in Power BI, that's one of the things that I worked on. The other thing that we evolved it into was a desktop app for desktop analytics that you now know of as Power BI Desktop. So I spent most of my time working on that. About a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, there was an opportunity. There was a team being formed to update reporting services, which had not been updated in a couple of releases and in a few years. And that's an interesting challenge, but it's a great opportunity. Reporting services was something that I used in custom development in my projects before I came to Microsoft, so it was very near and dear to my heart. I'm extremely passionate about this product and making it the best that it can be. I have a very talented engineering team that I work with that I think has done a phenomenal job on doing what we set out to for SSRS 2016. We know our job is not done. We have a lot more in the works. So that's a little bit of background on myself. If you want to get in touch with me, Twitter, LinkedIn, those links there. I blog along with some of my coworkers on the reporting services team blog. The link there, the nice short link, that's where you should go to keep on top of current and future reporting services news. On the topic of tweeting, we often see people tweet about the releases and the new features that we have coming out, and we are really delighted to see what people have to say about SSRS 2016. If you feel at any point compelled to do the same, feel free to use these hashtags. It makes it more likely that we will see it, and we'll probably pick a few favorites and retweet them so you get some free publicity. Okay. With that, let's dive into what's new in SSRS 2016. If you take nothing else away from this session, you should know what SSRS 2016 offers. And we like to think that back when we built the original version of reporting services over a decade ago, we set out to build a more modern competitor in the enterprise reporting space, a modern on-premises enterprise reporting platform. And we'd like to think that with SSRS 2016, we set out to do that again, and we achieved that. So it is a modern on-premises solution for deploying your reports, making them accessible to business users, whether that's on the web or on a mobile device, and being able to manage those, things like security, things like organizing your reports, things like scheduling. It's a very robust enterprise-grade platform. Now, we know reporting services as associated with a particular type of report. If you think of the traditional enterprise report, it takes the form of a paginated document, right? You build this template that's sort of like a Word doc or PDF doc in that style of pages. And the more data you feed in, generally you get more pages coming out. And it's very, very conducive for and optimized for exporting to formats like Word and PDF, printing, and that sort of distribution. So it has a lot of strengths. It's so-called pixel perfect. No matter what screen or device you're looking at it on, it's always exactly as you designed it. And there's still definitely a need for that style of reporting today. Talk to many customers who run their operations on this sort of thing. Sometimes they're more operational than analytical. It's like, here's a printout of the orders that we have to process today. It's operational as opposed to analytical in that sense. But that's what I mean about companies running their business on these things. So we wanted to keep all the goodness of that, but what we wanted to do was modernize that. So now you'll see that you're able to create much more modern-looking, beautifully modern documents. And the tools that you use to build them are modernized as well. We've added a bunch of new features to them. So I'll show you that. We also recognize that this is not the only type of report people want to create anymore, nor the only way that they want to consume them. So sometimes, sure, you want to optimize for generating a PDF document and delivering it to people through email or to a file share or even to a printer. But sometimes that's not the experience that you want. You want something where an executive or a business user or a field worker is looking at some very summary-level analytical information on their smartphone. Okay? And in that sort of situation, the sort of things that you wanted when you wanted a paginated report, like design once and it looks that way exactly everywhere, a very fixed layout, is exactly not what you want in this scenario. You want a responsive layout where, depending on whether you're viewing it on a tablet, a phone, a PC, even how I've oriented my screen, the layout automatically adjusts to make the best use of the screen. So they have some conflicting requirements, and these two types of reports are complementary. We've expanded reporting services into a platform that can handle multiple types of reports with these different requirements. So it can handle existing paginated reports and these new responsive mobile reports. Tying it all together, we have this brand new web portal, and that's where you can organize all of these types of reports together, both the paginated reports and your mobile reports. Organize them topically by folder. People can favorite them. And end users have this brand new portal where they can consume this content in modern browsers or on mobile devices. So that's what Reporting Services 2016 offers you. So with that, let's dive into a little bit more detail. But I'm going to go through these slides pretty quickly. You'll get a copy of them, and they're a good reference. But we're not going to go through every little thing, because I'd rather show you the demo. And just go through these a little quickly. So don't worry if we're skimming over some of the details here. When I say that we have modernized paginated reports, some really concrete things to pull out is one of the biggest things that we did. It's totally aesthetic, and people say that it's one of the highest impact things that we've done in this release. With reporting services, you were always able to customize the visuals, the charts, the maps, the tables, as much as you like to make them look however you want. You can still do that. However, what you got by default were some what are now pretty dated styles. And what we did was we just overhauled all of the default styles so that they look beautifully modern. And they look a lot like the ones in Power BI, so there's some nice symmetry there. We also added a couple of new types of visuals that are nice for viewing dense hierarchical information. That's tree maps and sunburst charts. We updated the tools from for any. Do we have any developers in the room? People who use Visual Studio? Okay. Well, a good number of you. So there were a lot of people complaining that the ship cycles of Visual Studio and SQL Server were always out of sync. And Visual Studio 2015 came out a year ago, and they couldn't design reports in Visual Studio 2015. You had to use an older version. We've now addressed that. Again, on the modernization front, another example. You can write code and reports to do all sorts of sophisticated things, but you were stuck for years using older versions of the .NET framework. And we've now updated that to remove that limitation. We run on .NET 4 platform. You can use the latest .NET 4.6 latest features in your report code and in your reporting services extensions. There are a bunch of other modernizations, too many to count, but the point is we've overhauled the platform for these existing reports and that sort of processing. Another really big one, if you've ever built a reporting services report, you've probably built one with parameters, and this is just a really highly appreciated thing that pretty much everybody says, oh man, you know, I always had such little control over the layout of the parameters. Again, remember, this is in the whole modernization theme again. Reporting services was built at a time when screens were not widescreen, they were more square, and they had a much lower screen resolution, so you could realistically only fit two or three parameters on your screen. And so it just laid out parameters for you on this two-column layout. And it would snake from left to right, top-down sort of reading order. But you couldn't actually control the order of parameters. And worst of all, you could not have more than two columns of parameters. That was the most frustrating thing. We've now eliminated that. We just give you, for the first time ever, a design time experience for parameter layout. And you can put the parameters wherever you want. You can have two, three, four, five columns, as many as you can fit on your screen. I'll show you an example of this. But you know, this alone is something that people are really going wild over. You can still export to many different types of formats. You can export to Word, Excel, PDF, and you can now export to PowerPoint as well. That's a new format that we've added. We saw a lot of people copying and pasting, doing screen clippings and putting it in a PowerPoint presentation. This just makes it a lot more convenient, a lot quicker, and then you can go and customize a presentation, do all sorts of typical PowerPoint stuff with it. So I'll show you that. And an interesting hybrid scenario that came up is that we have users who are using reporting services on premises, and they have a big investment in all these reports running on reporting services on premises, but they're also starting to use Power BI in the cloud. And one of the nice features of Power BI in the cloud are these cool dashboards. We call them dashboards, but it refers to a very specific feature. They're like these pinning boards where you can collect charts and gauges and all sorts of little data visualizations from all sorts of different reports in different places and different types of reports. So if you have a chart or a gauge or something in one of your existing reporting services reports and you think, hey, this is something, a piece of business information that I'd love to monitor on a regular basis, and I'd love to be able to do that on the same pane of glass as all my other stuff in Power BI, you do not need to rebuild that chart in Power BI when you might have spent a lot of time doing all sorts of data prep to create that chart in the first place. You do not need to migrate all of your reports to the cloud overnight. You can keep your report where it is, running on-prem in reporting services. And with 2016, you can just go run that report, click on that chart or that gauge, pin it up to Power BI, and it will create the tile for you. And it will create a schedule to keep that tile up to date, whether that's weekly, daily, hourly. And that tile still links back to your full reporting services reports with all the details. So it's a really nice round-tripping scenario between reporting services and Power BI. It takes advantage of your existing investments and your new dabbling with Power BI. And then a big new thing, as I mentioned, is mobile reports. Who's heard of DataZen? Can you raise your hand if you've heard of DataZen? Okay, so DataZen was a really cool startup that built a really, really top-notch, really nifty mobile BI experience, where you have these responsive reports that depending on what sort of device you're using, tablet, phone, they would adapt the layout. And you can even take control of exactly how they would adapt the layout. So they ended up looking really, really great on whatever device you're using, however you're holding it. And we acquired that technology about a year ago, and we gave it away to all SQL Server customers who had enterprise. And you could deploy DataZen, but it was this separate server, which was more for you to deploy from an IT perspective. It was not integrated with the Microsoft BI stack in the sense that you couldn't reuse queries across these different types of reports. And even your end users had to have a a separate set of mobile apps, the Data Zen mobile apps. So we thought, how can we better integrate these things into the Microsoft BI platform as the next step? So what we did was we integrated Data Zen deeply into reporting services. What does that mean? It means that you now have one less server to deploy. You just deploy reporting services 2016. It now supports your existing RS reports as well as your Data Zen mobile reports. And you can reuse shared data sets, a reporting services feature, where you write a query once and you can use it across these two different report types. The way that you build these mobile reports is using a really easy-to-use drag-and-drop tool called Mobile Report Publisher. It's really the next gen of what used to be called Data Zen Publisher. I'll show it to you. And it's really nice. You drag-and-drop these visuals that come out of the box with the product. You can access your existing reporting services, share data sets, and you can use the killer feature, which is you can customize it for the different form factors of these different devices. Once you've built these mobile reports, they work cross-browser, they'll work in a mobile browser, but best of all, they have native mobile apps for all of the major mobile platforms, Windows, iOS, and Android. And as I said, whereas they used to be separate Data Zen apps, now you just get Microsoft's BI app for your device. You get the Power BI mobile app for your phone or for your tablet. And if you're using Power BI, you can connect your dashboards and your reports in Power BI with that app. If you're using reporting services, you can connect to a report server on-prem and get your KPIs and your mobile reports. If you're using a little bit of both, you can connect to both at the same time and see them all in one app. So just get the Power BI mobile app for your device, and you'll be able to use these cool features. And finally, tying it all together, we've got this new modern web portal. As I said, you can access all these different report types in one place, organize them. A really cool feature that we brought over from Data Zen is you can even customize the branding to match your organization's brand. So you can change the logo in the top right to your corporate logo. You can change the colors to your corporate colors. Really well-loved feature in Data Zen that we brought over and integrated. And the other thing is that it is not a facelift of the old Report Manager web portal. It is entirely new code. We built it from the ground up as a modern, so-called single-page app. It's an HTML5-based web app. And it outputs standards-based HTML5 so that we optimize it for modern browsers. If you're used to using reporting services and you know, the web portal doesn't work properly in Chrome, or your reports look differently in Firefox than they do in IE, or they even look different in IE 11 than they did in IE 6, all that is gone. So this just emits standards-based HTML5, and it works beautifully across Edge, IE 10 and up, Chrome, Firefox, and Safari. So hopefully all that didn't make your head spin, but I think it's time to show you some of these things with a demo. Right. I mentioned a new web portal. There is a new web portal. This is how SSRS 2016 is going to look to your users. It's the new face of reporting services. Who's seen the old report manager and remembers what that looked like? Yeah? Quite different, right? It said that if you didn't have the word SSRS at the top, you might not even know that this is the same product. It's that drastic of an overhaul. So we've gotten really, really good feedback on this modern new web portal. One of the things I like about it the most, and this is yet another thing that we took from the Data Zen acquisition and nicely integrated, are these key performance indicators, these KPIs. And the reason I like them so much and customers like them so much is that if you think about it, reporting services has always been this catalog of reports. And reports are great because they can provide a lot of detail. And very often you need to go and dig into the details. But when you're just looking at the landing page and looking at this catalog of reports, you don't get any summary level information. It's hard to just look at a catalog full of reports and get a sense, a pulse, of how your business is doing. With the KPIs, you can surface these key metrics, these key trends, get a sense of how your business or an aspect of your business is performing, and then you can link these to detailed reports so you can drill through to the details when you need to. They're very complementary, these KPIs and these detailed reports. Now let's go actually dig into some of these details and show you a couple of the different flavors of reports that we now have. I'll open a daily store report. This is just a traditional reporting services report, but I use all of the new styles when I built this one, and look how beautifully modern it looks. Now, I should say that it definitely looks a lot more modern. Beautiful tends to be subjective. We showed some people some of the new styles, and people referred to some of these as hipster charts. That's an actual literal quote. So some people don't like hipster charts. But You know, we would definitely say that these look a lot more modern, and most people find that they look beautifully modern, much more so than before. And of course, with reporting services, as I said, you still have all the customizability that you had before. You can change these to look exactly as you want, but it's a lot quicker to get to something that looks like this as opposed to what you got before. And then, again, this is rendering beautifully in Microsoft Edge, which is a pure, you know, HTML5 optimized browser. If I switch over to Chrome, pixel for pixel, it looks identical. And beyond just viewing these reports, if I wanted to, say, print this, anybody know what problem I would have encountered with a previous release? Where would have printing have gone wrong if I tried to print from Chrome or Edge in a previous release? Anybody know? It would have gone wrong really early because I wouldn't have even seen the print button. The reason is that the printing implementation was based on ActiveX. And so it didn't work in any browser that didn't support ActiveX. In other words, it didn't work in any browser. And that was sort of a growing problem. The other problem was that even if you had a browser that supports ActiveX, you know, most users and users in enterprises, as you know, tend not to be admins on their own machines, which means they can't install software with IT permission. So now IT has this burden of deploying the ActiveX control, making sure it's signed properly, deploying all the updates. All of that is gone because most, if not all, modern browsers or, you know, standard IT images have the ability built in to view PDFs. So we just hooked into reporting services PDF generation. And if I print this now, I can override the default page size and everything if I want. This is based on how I designed the report. But if I print this, it's going to generate a PDF for me. And then it's going to hook seamlessly into the browser's native PDF printing experience. That's what happens when the demo works. Now, we will refresh this to see if we can get it to work. Let's try that again. Print. It's going to be a PDF. There we go. Not sure what happened there. Just maybe went idle. And you get Chrome's print preview experience, which frankly is a lot better than any that we ever had. We're in the BI business, not in the browser or, you know, print preview business with SSRS. So if you're in Edge, you'll get Edge's native experience, and you get a really nice native print preview experience that works cross-browser. Another nice feature that I want to show you is I mentioned that you have all these export formats. Let's export to the new one, export to PowerPoint. And really quickly, I've got a PowerPoint presentation generated. Much faster than doing all these screen clippings. And I can do all the usual PowerPoint stuff. So I could go in here and I could change the design. These items, these charts, these gauges, they actually become native PowerPoint objects. So I can actually make this bigger if I want. I could take this title. All the header text boxes actually become editable text boxes in PowerPoint. So I could say something like Atlanta store report. I could make this bold. Whoops. Change the font if I want. And just like that, in 1 minute, I've got a PowerPoint presentation. Yes, that's my dream car there in the background. So great. OK. Export to PowerPoint. Now let me show you another cool one. Get PowerPoint out of the way. Let's say that I had this bullet graph here. And this is something that shows me my conversion rate, people walking into my store, how many of them actually buy something. This is a really, really useful metric, an important, you know, critical business metric that would be great to monitor on my Power BI dashboard. Let me show you how easy that is if I'm using Power BI. I'll just click this button here to say I want to pin something from this report to my Power BI dashboard. And it's going to, if I've never signed in before to Power BI, it'll ask me to sign in, so I'll just sign in. And it's not letting me sign in, so unfortunately I'm not going to be able to show you that. But if I just switch over, whoops. To my Power BI dashboard, we'll see one that I pinned earlier. Not sure why it's not letting me sign in right now. Hope I didn't lose my Wi-Fi, because it looks like I'm having trouble getting to this. Oh well, we'll move on. Now, a few more things that I want to show you about the web portal is let's look at a very different type of report. Let's look at a mobile report. And just to show you the contrast here, well, that's still coming up. to show you the contrast here, if I open a mobile report, go back to my home page. This one here, this corporate scorecard, is a mobile report. I'll open that up. And you'll notice the difference from a paginated report. There aren't multiple pages. There aren't things scrolling off the page. This is meant to adapt to whatever your screen size or browser viewport is. So here, if I resize this, for example, I'll just snap it to the left side of the screen, you'll notice that everything resized. As I actually make this smaller, it will start to approximate what I'd see maybe on a tablet or on a phone, and everything just dynamically relays out. This is simulating what you would see on a phone. And so just to show you that again, right, here's a report in PC mode on a phone. Everything will reorganize, and you're in control of exactly how it reorganizes. Okay, so that's a really cool feature. A couple other things I want to show you about the web portal. The way to think about the web portal is, yes, it is the end user experience where you can consume all of this content, but it is really the place that you get everything done. If you are a content manager, if you are somebody who creates reports, if you're somebody who administers reports, manages permissions, you do all that here as well. So let me show you a couple things. If I want to create one of these KPIs, here's how easy it is. If I don't have permission, I won't see this option, but if I do have permission, I'll see new KPI just up here in this menu, right there. You see options to upload reports and all that stuff there as well. I'll create a new KPI, and one of the really nice features is it shows me a preview live as I'm editing these values of exactly what this KPI will look like. So I could give it a title like sales, month to date, and it updates in real time. I could change this to a currency. I could change the currency symbol. Now, for the individual values, I can enter them in manually, and this is something that you might do more with the goal. For example, the goal might be the goal for the year, and it might change not very often, and so I might not bother binding it to data. I might just manually update it every now and then. Of course, you can also bind these things to reporting services shared data sets. That's where I choose this option for a data set field. Pick data set field, and now I can go and actually browse through my reporting services shared data sets, pick a data set, pick the field, pick the aggregation, and bind my KPI to it. Then I can go and set up refresh on the data set and all that stuff that you're familiar with in reporting services. Show you another little thing here. Because we took the opportunity to rebuild this web portal from the ground up, we took all of the things that we learned from a usability perspective, from customer feedback, from observing customers use the product over years and years, and we thought, how can we make certain things easier? How can we make certain things more self-explanatory? So for example, if I go to manage this report, this traditional report, you know, you can run a report live every time a user goes to it. You can run it on a schedule. You can create something called a snapshot. I can enable caching. I can create a cache refresh plan. There were all these concepts in reporting services, but it wasn't clear to a lot of users what the difference between all these things were, right? If I went to the caching page, I would see a whole page full of advanced options, and it wasn't clear where I should start. And we narrowed that down to something much, much simpler. If I go to the caching page, you get exactly three options that are really simple. Always run the report with the most recent data. Don't cache anything. Every time somebody goes run the report, just get the latest data, run the query. That's the first option. Second option is opportunistically cache things. When the user runs a report, great. If you got a cache miss, we'll go run the query, but then we'll put that cache data in a cache so that the next user who runs it, it's a lot faster. So we'll just opportunistically cache, and you can set policies for how often the cache expires. So you see that once I select this option, only then do applicable other options become available. And the last option is, you know, this is a really, really, really long-running query, or this is something that really should only be run at a certain time interval, like a calendar month or a fiscal month or a quarter close or something like that. I just want to create these pre-generated snapshots on a schedule, and nobody should be able to run a report except on top of one of those pre-generated snapshots. Those are your three options, and depending on which option you choose, you get only the other relevant options. So this is just one example. There are a bunch of other pages in the portal where we've taken the opportunity to make them a lot more self-explanatory in plain English and help users use the product and be more successful with the product. One other thing I want to show you, if I go over here, is I'll go to the site settings, and I'll go to branding, another feature that we took from DataZen, and I can upload a brand package. There's a whole blog post and set of documentation of how you create one of these. but you're basically replacing logo files and colors. It's pretty straightforward. And I can brand this. So for example, if I were the Xbox team, I might brand my web portal with the Xbox theme. So I'll upload that. And just like that, you've now got a reporting services portal that's branded with the Xbox theme. Imagine your corporate logo and colors here. It's that easy.
Question.
Yes. Yeah, so the comment was, there are other ways that this feature could have been designed. It could have been like, you know, we give you a CSS file, we give you a less file or something like that. We gave you maybe a visual experience where you can see what color maps to what and, you know, go and plug those in. There's all sorts of different ways we could have designed the feature. The honest answer is, that's true. I would say a couple things. One is, we took the feature that we had from DataZen and we made some tweaks to it. We actually simplified a lot of things. It's simpler than it was in DataZen. I'm not sure if you used the DataZen version or this version. Okay. Okay. Hopefully you found it at least a little bit simplified in this version compared to DataZen, but, you know, subjective. But we simplified it a little bit, and that was the quickest path to getting it in the product. It's not the only thing that we could do in the future. We could do some of these other approaches as well. And the other... Okay, so there's a lot of good feedback there. I would definitely say that, you know, improving the usability and the UX of the portal is an ongoing thing that we would want to keep doing. We think and we have customer feedback to suggest that this is a good incremental improvement over the old report manager, but that doesn't mean that there's lots of other things that we can't improve based on customer feedback. If for what it's worth, when you do have longer report names, they do wrap to, you know, two or three lines, I believe. So fair enough. So, I mean, we'll take your feedback. And I will show you something a little bit later that might be another alternative way that this is shown that some users prefer. So we'll find that some of these things are just subjective as well. Great. Let me just go back to site settings. I'm going to undo this branding here. It's really easy to remove. The last thing I want to show was, if you go to the home here, as you deploy reporting services at enterprise scale to a large company, to a large enterprise, we're talking where you have hundreds or thousands of users, you quickly start to get hundreds and thousands of reports. And at Microsoft, I like to give the anecdote that we have tens of thousands of reports in one deployment of reporting services. Of course, there's all sorts of folders and hierarchies and things like that. But when I go to reporting services every day, the old version, I was just bombarded with a sea of folders. And there are very few of those reports that I actually use, a small handful. And now with the KPIs, there's only a handful of KPIs that are actually relevant to me. There was never any personalization with reporting services. So now what we did was we introduced a favorites feature for any of these things like a KPI. I can add this to my favorites, a mobile report, a traditional report. And then once you add favorites, by default, each individual user is going to by default go to their favorites page where they can see the thing that they use day to day, that's most relevant to them. They can, of course, still go to the full catalog, but it's nice that they start their day with the favorites page and they see what they use most. Now let me switch over. I just want to show you a little bit of a glimpse into creating actual reports, both the traditional paginated reports and the new mobile reports, and show you some of the things that we've improved and made easier there. So I'll start with a good old classic report builder. And one of the things you'll notice right off the bat is Hopefully you can see it on the screen. It wasn't very friendly to high DPI screens, so it doesn't work very well on my Surface Book here. That's something that we've largely addressed. There's obviously this, you know, when they built this, their goal was to replicate the Office 2007 look and feel, because it was 2007. I would say they did a stellar job at doing that, which was great then, not so great now. Definitely looked dated and needed an update. But the other thing was that the reports themselves that you would create with this looked quite dated. So for example, here is a AdventureWorks report. It was one of the sample reports that came with reporting services. You know, you can take a look at the style of the visuals there. This is the new report builder. And what I did was create the exact same report, using the exact same visuals and everything, just what I got by default with the new styles, the new hipster styles, of course. And this is what you get. Now, again, I mean, beauty is subjective, but very few people would argue against the fact that this is a more modern-looking report and more in line with minimalistic data visualization practices that are common today. It looks like what? The MS Access Report Builder. So funny you say that. The dark gray theme that we use comes from Office. It's one of the themes built into Office 2016, so we just aligned with that. So looking at the visuals here, if I dig into this a little bit more, run this report. This is the old report builder. These are the visuals that I would get by default. This is the what a chart would look by, like by default if I didn't use any theming, I just used the generic theme. But we also had a bunch of themes that came out of the box that you could apply to your chart. I'll just go through, whoops. Left some of these things idle, unfortunately, for too long. So this is the generic theme, as I mentioned. This is the ocean theme, which if you used the chart wizard was actually what you got by default. Hopefully that looks familiar. This is the forest theme. The next one is my personal favorite, and you actually can't make this stuff up. This is the rich mahogany theme that was built into the old report builder. So the end result was that you get visuals that would look like this. Here are examples of some of the visuals. This is what you get by default with the chart wizard, a gauge. This is a bullet graph. This here actually surprisingly was a map. By default, you actually didn't get any part of the world inside your map, which I find kind of odd. So let's take a look at what we did in the new version of report builder to make a lot of those things easier, give you better defaults. What I'm going to do is just create the exact same visual as the one that you got from 2014, just right beside it, and show you the contrast. Before, you would have had a lot of tweaking to get this the end result you want. Let's look at what you do now. Insert a chart. I'll pick a pie chart. Click OK. Oops. And that's what you get right now by default. It looks just like the pie chart in Power BI. Do the same thing with a gauge. I'll insert a gauge here. This gauge, because that was the style we had. And that one also just looks just like the gauge in Power BI. It's actually remarkable that this gauge and this one are actually not two different controls, but this different styling on top of the same control. You could customize this to go back to this, you know, Buick LeSabre oil pressure gauge if you really want to. But it speaks to the power of reporting services and the customizability of the visuals. This one was supposed to be a bullet graph. Anybody who's a data visualization enthusiast will know that this is not a proper bullet graph. Now, if you insert a bullet graph, insert a gauge, oops, here, I'll pick a bullet graph, and I'm not sure what's going on with the sizing on the screen, but that is a proper bullet graph. Even the shades of gray match the official bullet graph spec. So we're very, very diligent with this stuff. And here, if I insert a map, as I said, it seems logical that maybe we would get the planet that we live on automatically added to the map for you. And now if you do that, you get a big maps layer by default. You could start layering on points, polygons, lines. I had a map where I drew flight routes, lines along the geography of the Earth. So a very, very powerful visualization, the map that comes with reporting services. But you can see how much easier and quicker it is to create a lot of these things. How does Report Builder current version 2016 compare to SSDT 2016? They have the exact same capabilities in terms of controls, visualizations, formatting. The main difference is more about SSDT gives you projects, solutions, source control, integration with build, that sort of stuff. Right? In terms of report design, you will have the exact same capabilities. Yeah. So with that, one more thing that I want to switch over to is mobile report publisher. I'm just going to run mobile report publisher here, give you a flavor for how this works. So this is mobile report publisher. It is, like I said, kind of the next generation of DataZen publisher. One really, really cool feature about it is you can get started prototyping what your dashboard or report or whatever you want to call it might look like before you've even done any data prep, written a single line of SQL, done any querying or anything like that. You don't even need to have a database. I'm not even connected to anything right now. I can just start dragging things in. So I can drag this time navigator, which automatically gives you really common time navigation, like this quarter, last quarter, this month, year to date, that sort of stuff. And I can start dragging in other visuals, and it's just generating sample data for me for the purposes of prototyping. I can go and show this to a business stakeholder and say, is this the sort of report that you were looking for? Imagine this being your sales number and this being your inventory number, and they can tell you whether you're on the right track or not, or they can say, oh no, this isn't what I meant at all, before you go and do a lot of expensive data prep work. So just drag a few more visuals in here. I'll drag a chart, and let's drag a map as well. Great, so now I've got this dashboard that works on a PC. But the really cool feature now is I can customize the layout for a tablet or a phone. I don't have to, it will do it automatically, but if I want to take control of exactly how it will look on a phone, this is how I do it. Switch to the phone layout and take the exact same visuals. I don't have to rebind them, reconfigure them. All I have to do is specify how will they be laid out differently. So I'll put the gauges, KPIs here. And I don't have to include every visual. What I might say is, well, on a phone, rather than cram all of the same visuals in, I'll maybe optimize for less is more. I'll omit one of the less important ones. Maybe I'll omit the map. And I'll just use that real estate to show this chart a little bit bigger. And then when you're done, you can bind this to data, or you can preview it at any time and see exactly what it's going to look like on a phone. It's even interactive, so I can go and filter through. If I had bound this to data, I'd be seeing the real data. So you can go and prototype exactly what your mobile BI experience will look like. Okay? So that's mobile report publisher. Yeah. Yeah, that's for feedback. So Report Builder is easier to use, less intimidating for a developer than, say, Visual Studio. But it's certainly still the next level up of a learning curve and quite a bit more complex than, say, DataZen Publisher or even some other so-called self-service BI tools that are out there. Report Builder definitely is currently in the domain of more of a pro user tool. And the question is, why was there no thought to maybe making that a little bit easier to use, more approachable for a self-service scenario? It's not that there was no thinking, but everything comes down to we prioritized that work, we wouldn't have done something else. And later on, you'll see some of the stuff that we're working on, including what is really the crux of our self-service BI strategy. And it's not really centered on Report Builder. So it's a totally valid thing that we would do. It's just how does it stack up against investments we want to make in many other areas of the product. So I don't disagree at all. It's just, you know, when will that come to the top of the stack of our priorities over some other things? Fair enough. OK. Very quick question, then I'm going to ask us to hold the questions just so we can get through the rest of the content and demos. Can you send output from DataZen to a PDF? There's no like first-class feature to do that yet. You can print from the browser, and if you use like a print-to-PDF driver, you can do it. You might get some header content that you maybe don't want. So there are ways to work around it, but there's no built-in native feature for that today. Yeah. OK, so let me move along. Just going to go switch back to my slides here. Really, really quickly, a couple other things that I just wanted to mention. We have support for all sorts of data sources via the generic connectivity of ODBC and OLADB, but we do have a few first-class native third-party data connectors for common data sources that people have connected to in the enterprise. That includes the one that you see here. We would often get asked questions like, hey, I'm trying to connect reporting services to SAP BW, and it's not working. And we would ask, well, are you using any version of SAP BW from the last decade? Because if so, then that's why it doesn't work. So, you know, obviously, needless to say, it's not really, doesn't really make a lot of sense that we have these native connectors that were not maintained, and they only supported connecting to these outdated, archaic versions of these data sources. We've invested work in bringing these up to date, so it works with the latest version of Oracle. It no longer uses a deprecated, Microsoft connector for Oracle. That does mean you need to make sure you've got the latest Oracle data provider for .NET installed. Both the 32-bit and the 64-bit, so that's a common gotcha. And these other data sources as well, so it supports the latest version of SAP BW and Teradata as well. Another nice new feature, particularly for analysis services users, especially in sort of embedded scenarios where your end user isn't a Windows user, they might be a custom user in your application, we have this token now that you can put in a connection string where at runtime we will replace it with the username of the person who signed in, whether that's a Windows user or not. And we will pass it to analysis services, and in your sort of trusted subsystem model, there's a custom data function that you can use in analysis services to go and get that value and do all sorts of custom filtering. So you could show different data to different users within the context of your application. It works technically with any data source, but it really is a scenario that's targeted at analysis services and really a common workaround for a common challenge with analysis services in these sorts of scenarios. Just a quick note on upgrading. You can upgrade in place from a previous version of reporting services, so you don't need to create a new installation. You can just upgrade right in place from 2008 or later, or you can migrate. So you can just install a new instance, whether that's on new hardware, same hardware, new VM, different VM, whatever, and you can just migrate over your reporting services database, reattach it, and everything will upgrade for you. All of your existing reports should work the way that they did before. We won't go and change the formatting on you, change the colors for you. That's all opt-in. And another common question that we get is, what if I don't want to update my database engine? I want to leave that as SQL Server Database Engine 2012 or 2014 or whatever you're running. Reporting services will work with that just fine. So while it's great to take advantage of the latest, greatest features, you do not have to be bound to updating reporting services and the database engine at the same time. It will even work with older versions. It's just that the older versions are officially out of support, so 2008 and later is best. And when it comes to migrating from Data Zen Server, you can't do an in-place upgrade because they are two different products, but you can migrate over, and there's a tool for you, the SQL Server Migration Assistant for Data Zen. You pick your dashboards, your KPIs, it will bring over your data connections, your data views, your queries, as much as it can, and report any failures in this tool that you can go and diagnose. But there is this automated tool. They just recently done another update of it in response to some customer feedback, and so this is the answer of how you migrate from Data Zen. A quick note on the reference architecture. I mentioned at Microsoft that we have this huge deployment with thousands of users, tens of thousands of reports, and it actually gets tens of thousands of report executions per day. Like at peak times, we have several executions of a report per second. So it's under a very, very heavy load. Can't go down. We use it for 24/7 mission critical stuff. And the way that we do it is we deployed it in Azure VMs. You don't have to do that. You can do the exact same thing on-prem. We deployed it in Azure VMs. We use D13 VMs, so they're pretty beefy size VMs. And what we did was we put three report servers in the front end, scale out using scale out report servers. So there's some load balancing, there's an Azure load balancer in front of it, and there's load balancing across them, and there's fault tolerance. And then on the back end, we have the reporting services database, the actual catalog database, running on an always on availability group in SQL Server. So that's the way that we did it. There are certainly other ways to do it, but the general pattern will be you'll have a scaled-out database storage tier, you have scale-out report servers, and you probably have a load balancer in front of it. One other thing that's just worth mentioning is that you have users going to the reporting services web portal or going on their phone and triggering the execution of a report. That's an on-demand execution of a report. It wasn't scheduled. It was actually a user sitting at a device who triggered that to happen. And that is part of the load. And then there are scheduled reports that You know, at end of quarter or at 3 a.m., there's a whole bunch of reports that run that place a real heavy peak of load on the server. Sometimes customers ask us about how they manage those two types of load conflicting with one each other, conflicting with each other or competing with each other. And one of the things that you can do, you don't have to, but for when you have scaled out report servers, you, by default, they will handle scheduled processing and interactive processing. But you can turn either of those off. So you can say these nodes just handled scheduled reports. And so no matter what load we get of these scheduled reports, it will not impact interactive usage. And these other nodes, they only handle interactive usage, and they will not be bogged down by scheduling and vice versa. So that's an option you have in the reporting services configuration file to turn those two modes of operation off. And with that, I want to do a quick demo of a few things that we've worked on that, again, are either shipping soon or about to ship. Really, really minor one, but just to show you that actually the bigger point here is that Report Builder, SQL Server Data Tools, Management Studio, all these tools that they used to ship with the server, with SQL Server, and that meant that they shipped major new functionality every couple of years, and then they just got bug fixes. They didn't get updated beyond that. We're now trying to pull them out, decouple them a little bit more from the server so that we can ship them on more of a regular cadence. So SQL Server Data Tools, we're shipping monthly. SSMS, we ship monthly. We've now pulled out Report Builder into its own release vehicle, and we shipped the first update to it ever out of band of SQL Server. And we hope to get that to the point where we ship this monthly, too. And much of it will be bug fixes, but we'd also like the occasional usability improvement here and there, subject to prioritization with other features. This is just one example. It's not a big deal. It's sort of a minor thing, but it's one of the niceties that we'd like to have a constant trickle of these things. Before, make this smaller, I could not. If I'm using Report Builder and maybe I'm referring to something else on my screen, there's a feature in Windows, since Windows 7, that you can snap things to the side of the screen, and Report Builder didn't work with that. And now what I can do is I can just take Report Builder and snap it to the side of the screen and put something else in the other side. It's a minor usability feature, but I wanted to highlight that the point is we want to be shipping Report Builder more frequently with these sorts of nice enhancements. Now, another thing that, again, back to the developers in the room, we've had developers asking us for months, what's going on with the Report Viewer Control? So Report Viewer Control, again, is one of those things that isn't down to shipping when SQL Server ships. It actually has always shipped outside of SQL Server. We can ship it whenever we want. And so we optimized our work before SQL Server 2016 shipped to get as much into the server product as we could before that train left the station. Now that that train has left the station, we've been able to turn some attention to our developer story. And there's lots we want to do here, from APIs to support for other web frameworks. But the most burning issue was people who have existing applications, ASP.NET web forms applications that use the Report Viewer Control, they're getting the old HTML4 quirky IE6 optimized rendering, and it wasn't working in their apps, and it wasn't working properly across modern browsers. So we have now shipped a release candidate, an update to our Report Viewer Control for 2016. It's got the new HTML5 based rendering engine, works great in HTML5 standards mode pages. And we've changed how you get it, so that's been a little bit modernized as well. Here, if I just open the tools, NuGet package manager, and the package manager console, anybody familiar with NuGet here? So this is now how you're going to get the Report Viewer Control. You will not find a download for it online. I'll open the package manager console. Whoops. And don't worry about memorizing this command. It's in the blog post that you'll see. I'll just do install package and enter the name of the package, which is microsoft.reportingservices.reportviewercontrol.webforms.preview. Rolls off the tongue. And run this. And you can see it'll just start pulling in automatically from NuGet all of the assemblies and all of the dependencies and all of the files that you need to get the Report Viewer Control in your application. When this is done, it'll actually kick up a documentation page where it walks you through what to do to add these controls to your page after you've imported them in. In the interest of time, I won't wait till that finishes running. I'll just go to a simple ASP.NET web forms app here. And a few things to call out. This register tag at the top, again, all called out in the blog post. This is one thing that you'd add for update in your application, registering the right version of the report viewer control. And then a little bit further down, you'll need an ASP.NET script manager and the actual report viewer control itself. Mine, I'm using a really, really simple report viewer control implementation. I haven't done a lot of customizing of styling and all that sort of stuff, but you certainly could. But you can see I've just set a few properties here, like some border colors and sizing and stuff like that. Pointed it to my report server, pointed it to my report path, and that's all I did. And now if I run this, it's going to take a few seconds to start up because it's going to run my development web server just to run my custom application. You should see my custom application come up. And now there's a report viewer control coming up. It's going to render beautifully in Edge. And you can see even the look and feel of the report viewer control toolbar, which of course you can still customize if you like, matches that in SSRS 2016. So modern look and feel, you get export to PowerPoint, you get HTML5 rendering, you get all of the stuff that you get in SSRS 2016. So give this control a try, give us your feedback, let us know how it's working in your apps. Now let's go back just really quickly to the reporting services web portal. I'm just going to refresh this to make sure that things haven't timed out on me. A couple of little, again, usability improvements that we want to make incrementally. We want to ship more often. We want to respond to customer feedback and do more of these nice little usability improvements. We got a lot of customer feedback on the context menus in the reporting services web portal. They didn't surface as many options as some people would like. They didn't have the familiar look and feel of a context menu to some people. The feedback was overwhelming enough that we decided to make a change. And so here, if I right-click on anything, you'll get a more traditional-looking context menu. Still got the metadata over here about, you know, who created the report, who last modified it, and when. But you'll get a more traditional right-click context menu. And the more permissions I have, the more things you'll see here. You'll see shortcuts even to open this up in Mobile Report Publisher, or open this up in Report Builder, or go and subscribe to the report, or manage its caching settings, and so on. So that's just one little nice improvement. Another one that some people missed that we just weren't quite able to squeeze into the new web portal in time for RTM was an alternative view to the tile view here. If you want to see more content, you can now switch to list view. And if you're familiar with the old details view in reporting services, this will look very familiar. So list view, you can sort by different things. You can sort alphabetically. You can sort by when things were last modified or by whom. And you can do bulk operations. So I can go and select a bunch of these, and I can go and move them all to a different folder in one shot, or maybe just delete a bunch of reports in one shot. So it's a little bit more of a power user view. The other thing that I really like about how we did it this time around was that in the old reporting services, your selection, tile view or list view, only lasted during your browser session. Tomorrow you come back and it'd be back to tiles view by default. Now we remember your selection in a cookie so that as long as you use that server, you don't clear your cache. If you like details view or list view, you're always going to come to list view. So it's your choice between the two. The last thing I want to show you here I'm going to switch back to the tile view, go to my reports. Here I have uploaded a Power BI desktop report. In SSRS 2016, you'll know that you can upload a report here. You can manage security on it. You can control who can view it, who can download it, who can change it. Of course, if you click it, it just downloads the file and still opens in Power BI desktop. What we have been actively working on is the ability to just click these things if you're a business user and view them in the browser. So if I click this now, what you're going to see is the Power BI visualization canvas actually loading in reporting services, rendering this report. I'll give it a few seconds to load because it's all running on my machine here. Not sure why it's not showing that visual. But it's interactive, so I can click these things on the map, and things were cross-filter. There we go, showing up now. So this is effectively a Power BI desktop report running web-based completely on-premises. I really, really wanted to show this to you because I wanted you to know that this is absolutely real. We are not, we are telling the truth, that we have been working very, very hard on this. And you can see that we have made progress. And I know there are going to be a lot of questions about, you know, when we'll have our first preview and, you know, how long it's going to take to develop all of the features of this. We have to be a little bit more patient before we have some of those details. But you can see that we're not far off. And so we're going to try to get you a preview as quickly as humanly possible. Okay, so I ask you to be patient a little bit longer, and we'll keep you up to date, we'll keep the conversation going, and your patience will be rewarded, and you'll see something like this in your hands in the not-too-distant future. Okay? So with that, I'm going to switch back to my slides. We'll just wrap up. some calls to action for you. If you have not tried SSRS 2016, go and get the SSRS 2016, or rather the SQL Server 2016 Evaluation Edition. If you don't have a licensed copy, or if you have a licensed copy, you can use that. Go and install it on a VM, go and install it on a test box, and kick the tires of it, and try it, and send us your feedback. If you haven't played with mobile reports yet, you can just start even quicker. Just get Mobile Report Publisher, use it on your desktop before you've even installed the server. It's really lightweight to install. If you're a developer, been waiting for that report viewer control, wait no longer. Go and get that from NuGet, try it out in your app, send us your feedback. As I mentioned, you know, in terms of community, make sure you read our blog. You're following that for the latest news. And if there's anything that is feedback that you want to surface to us on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter. Or if you just want to post something, you can use the hashtag SSRS. There are a number of different ways, including those ones that you can send us your feedback. And with that, I'll open it up for some Q&A. We have a good 13, 14 minutes of Q&A. Great. You over there. Is what dependent on SQL 2016? That's a great question. So does the Report Viewer 2016 control require a Reporting Services 2016 server? No. You can use it with a SSRS 2012 or 2014 server. Great. Yes, you there. Yep.
Do you have to have Power BI installed locally on your desktop to be able to do that?
So when I open the Power BI Desktop report in the browser, do I need to have Power BI Desktop installed?
Yes.
No. The whole idea is that would be, you know, for a business data analyst, they'll have Power BI Desktop installed, and that's what they use. But when I want to share it with my boss, who's maybe a business user, they're not going to have Power BI Desktop installed. So the whole point is that it's thin client. They don't need to install the thick client app.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody on this side? Yep. You there. To export to PowerPoint, you have to install the export to PowerPoint option. It's installed for you. It's just baked into SSRS 2016. Yep. On the pie chart, are the label options fixed so that they will word wrap? We haven't really changed anything there. You're referring to the pie chart or the sunburst chart? Yeah, we have not changed anything there. So I'll take that point of feedback. Yep. Anybody else? Yes, you with the mic there.
How about the SharePoint integration? We can deploy these new reports on the old SharePoint, or we need new SharePoint?
That's a great question. So most of these investments have been made in native mode. There are a bunch of them that surface naturally in SharePoint mode, but some like mobile reports, and the other one was pinning to Power BI. Because of the architecture today of SharePoint mode, would have basically required us to write the feature twice. We were also at the same time getting a lot of feedback about the complexity of our SharePoint integrated mode. So one of the things we said we were going to look at after 2016 was looking at how we can simplify SharePoint integrated mode, make it more lightweight, and make it easier to have more consistency in these modes, whether or not you're just using the web portal or you're embedding in SharePoint. So there is a disparity now, and that's something we're looking at how we're going to fix that. Yep, you there. The slides and the recording will be available for download, yes. When? They usually have it within 24 hours of the session. Yeah. Yes. For email subscriptions, can I configure an individual report to go as a different sender? Not currently. You can configure that at the report server level. Correct. All the reports on the server will be sent out through that one email address, yes. One thing that I should mention on the email stuff was we didn't used to support email servers that required authentication, which is basically all email servers. So what we've now done is given you another authentication option where you can authenticate, and rather than have to relay through IIS, SMTP server, all this stuff, you can go directly, you can use Office 365, Exchange Server on-prem, Gmail, SendGrid, MailChimp, all these services. Yes, you're welcome. So that was overdue as well, and we're glad that we were able to fix that one. We're using it heavily within Microsoft with Office 365, and it works phenomenally well. Yes? I'm not sure that I caught the whole question.
The Power BI, The Power BI Embedded, I saw a session about that earlier today.
Power BI Embedded.
Would that be implemented with the on-premise solution for Power BI deployment?
In the cloud, you have this big kind of difference in how a so-called SaaS software as a service versus a PaaS or platform as a service scenario works. There are two different services. Whereas on-prem today, whether you're using reporting services as an application, people go to the web portal, or whether they're using it as a platform component and embedding in their application, people do that with RS today, and it's the same product that serves both. So we're looking at how Power BI Embedded translates to on-prem, but it might not be that one-to-one, you know, split the distinction that you have in the cloud just because of the different nature of an on-prem server product. Yeah. Yes, there. Yeah, it's a great question. So right now, as we've sort of touched on, Report Builder is really easy for this non-developer to get started. You don't have the kind of intimidating curve of using Visual Studio. But if you are a professional, you know, developer or a professional BI team in an organization, you want to collaborate, you want to have source control, that stuff, that's why we have SSDT. That's why we have Visual Studio. Mobile Report Publisher was meant for this sort of non-developer audience to create these reports. That's what effectively we had from the data acquisition. We do not yet have a Visual Studio integrated version. It's something we're looking at. It's not something we're actively working on right now, to be clear. But one of the things is we're trying to get feedback on what's really the biggest bang for the buck thing that we can do. Because while we could integrate the entire visual development experience inside of Visual Studio, it's very expensive to do and will come at the cost of other features. Whereas maybe it's just, you know, having those files work in the project structure. Maybe it's having them play well with source control. So if you have any feedback on that, I'd love for you to send it through the feedback channels, or just let me know later. Yep. Right. Yep. So having these mobile report files in your project, making sure that they play well with source control, application lifecycle management considerations, moving from, you know, QA to prod and that sort of stuff. Even if it just launches when you actually go to edit one, maybe just launches Mobile Report Publisher, that would be a big win. Did I get that right? Cool. Okay, thanks very much. And that's very much in line with the feedback that we've heard to date. Thank you. What about this side of the room? Anybody else? Yes. When will RS be platform as a service? I knew somebody was going to ask that question. That's a great question. So the ability to run traditional, you know, paginated reporting services reports in the cloud, today you can do it by putting an Azure VM in there. How can you have more of a PaaS service where you don't have to manage the VM, patching, that sort of stuff? It's not something we're actively working on right now. Just again, it comes down to prioritizing against other things. But it is something that we're hearing more and more about, especially from ISVs. I'm not sure if you work at an ISV, but that's where we're hearing it most. And so we'd love to get more feedback on that, on what does it look like. To what degree is it integrated with Power BI versus a separate service? You know, you mentioned Power BI Embedded. You need to rationalize what that product looks like. But we're in the early stages of exploring that. But it's something from a roadmap perspective, from an aspirational perspective, we said we'd like to do. Hopefully that helps a little bit. I know the better answer would be, we'll have it on Thursday. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Yes, you there in the back. Yeah, question was about licensing for Power BI reports running on-prem. Honestly, licensing, these sorts of licensing decisions, you might have noticed based on history, tend to be made quite late in the cycle, finalized and communicated quite late, to the point where the thing is becoming available for sale or maybe just about to become available for sale. So they haven't finalized those decisions, and they probably won't for quite some time. The thing that I'd say to you is if you have any concerns, maybe you do, maybe you don't, about a particular licensing model that would be problematic or that you're worried about, if you can give us that feedback, we can pass it on to the people who consider that sort of stuff when they make these licensing decisions. That's really the best thing that you can do right now. Yeah. Anybody else here? Anybody else on this side? Yep. Is it going to be possible to create your own color themes? Yes, my memory is just failing me a little bit here, and I'm 99% sure this is correct, but I'll have to follow up and check just to make sure that I'm not losing my memory here. But I believe when you create a custom brand package, you can actually define a custom color theme that applies to the report elements itself. And when you upload that to the server, it gets downloaded to the mobile publisher, and you'll start to see them there and be able to use them in your reports. So I believe we have customers doing that today. Yes? I believe so. I'm 99% sure. I just, for some reason, have this doubt that I'm not remembering something correctly, but I'm quite sure. Yes? Yes? When you schedule a report, can you schedule it to be delivered in a particular format like PDF? Yes, you can. You can choose what the schedule is. You can choose who the recipients are. You can choose what the delivery method is. Is it email? Is it file share? Is it Power BI now? And you can choose what the format is. You can also choose what parameters are passed in to run that report. So it's quite powerful, quite flexible. Yes? Will something similar to Power BI dashboards be available on purely on-premises or just the Power BI reports? The terminology can be a little bit confusing because, I mean, to many people, you see a bunch of charts on the screen and they're interactive and they call it a dashboard. So in that sense, you know, you can build a dashboard-style report in Power BI and that's what you can have on-prem. What Power BI uses, what calls a dashboard, more specifically these pinning boards, is not something that we're actively working on bringing on-prem right now. We are focused on bringing the Power BI desktop reports on-prem first. That's really where the bulk of our customer ask is. Yeah. Anybody else? Have I tired you out? One last question? No? Yes, okay, last question of the day. QR codes. You want to render a QR code in a report? Yeah, so, without buying another product. So we don't have a built-in QR generator. I don't honestly know the state of QR generation libraries, if they mostly tend to be things you have to pay for, or if there's some open source stuff that you can pull in. But you have a couple of approaches. If you can get a .NET implementation that will render, you know, an image to GDI, you can use that in reporting services. Or you can go and call a web service or call, you know, a SQL database that's calling SQL CLR, anything outside of reporting services that will do the same thing, return a bitmap, and you can render that in your report. I know with more traditional one-dimensional barcodes, what people usually do in reporting services is they get a barcode font. You know, that's how you're going. Yeah, that's the other one as well. So, yeah. Okay, with that, I'm going to go to the next slide. And just wanted to let you know to make sure to fill out the evaluation form. Let us know what you liked about the session so we could keep doing it, and any other suggestions for things you'd like to see added or changed. And thank you very much for attending, and I hope you enjoyed the session.